Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. We were having too much fun talking to everybody at the station. With my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening,
Ronnie.
Everybody. Hi, Jackie.
And tonight's show, Physical Addictions to Food, People, Emotions, Drama, and Substances. And if we have anybody listening, it's a miracle. Okay. And tonight, since we started this last week, I'd like to dedicate the show tonight again to the continued turnaround of the financial markets globally, and also to flooding Washington with as much love as we can, regardless of our political beliefs.
Hmm.
And in other words, the old systems, as the old systems begin to break down, we want to flood as much love as we can with no judgment. We know this is a tough call, folks, not to jump into judgment here or to say, see, I told you so, or any of the above. And I struggle with it just like everyone else. But the guidance I'm getting from the other side is that we need to flood as much love as we can. So if we can just kind of take a minute here and really, because our work with the financial markets is having an impact. I'll share an email here later in the show. And based on what I'm being told, we're going to see we already are seeing big changes in Washington. Our goal, you know, as star beings really is to see all of this happen in a smooth, loving way, so that it's the best for not only our country and certainly our populace, but also for the world. So, tonight we have quite a few emails from last week's show, and tonight's show should be very interesting. I think it's going to pose more questions than it answers, but we have a lot of material to cover in a short period of time. And, of course, for those listening for the first time, the energies are coming through into your home. So if you have issues that you want to heal, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, whatever they may be, certainly set your intentions for that as well. Remember that they can't do anything without your permission. And if you prefer not to have an experience, you're certainly welcome to make that choice as well. Although I get a lot of feedback from people who are having quite extraordinary experiences, so I leave that up to you. Let's start with some of the emails. Ronnie, you up for that?
You bet. I'm ready to go.
All right. And for those of you listening, folks, Ronnie has now started a two-hour show versus her original one-hour, and I understand it was quite a success. So it starts at 4 p.m. on Tuesdays on BBS Radio, Radiance by Design.
And the second half is called Paradigm Shifters. It's interviews with people who are creating impact in the paradigm that we're all working on, you know?
Perfect. And you're a great interviewer, Ronnie, so I know the show is spectacular.
Thank you.
All right. All right, first email. Again, a powerful show this week. This is one I want to go to the archives and listen to at least a couple of more times. Thank you for sharing your own challenges with all of us tonight. It helps everyone. I know it's not easy. I have a brother that's an alcoholic and a niece that is an alcoholic that do not communicate with me because they know I know their addiction. I tried to help my brother once and found he did not want my help, really just resented it. Sometimes these people that have physical addictions feel safe in that addiction and do not want anyone's help. This is a very insightful email, by the way. It's been very hard on me as I do not have a lot of family, and to just release it and let it be and just be there with loving thoughts no matter what. Perfect, by the way. Perfect, perfect. That's a wonderful attitude to have for people who have addictions in your family. He is actually one of the people I need to do a power retrieval with. As you shared in my last email, I really got it that I need to do a power retrieval concerning a deceased lover that I love more than anyone I have ever known. He was married, and I did not know at the beginning of the relationship that he was married. I found out years later. By this time, I was addicted to this man. I was his lover for a good 15 years. I adored him. My self-esteem was so low because he was not there for me emotionally and mainly physically. I felt at the time at least he cared enough to call me and be with me from time to time and see how I was doing. I did a past life regression concerning this man because I tried many times to end the relationship, but just couldn't seem to do it. We went a year without seeing each other, and at the time I worked for an insurance company. He also worked for another insurance company, and his name came up through a claim. I got in touch with him, and there we went again. I had to literally leave the town I lived in to end the relationship with this man, and that didn't really end it. He came to see me where I was at the time. The last time I saw him, we never made love. The last time I called him, he said he always knew he had a friend in me. I had and still have dreams about him. But about 10 years ago, I kept having a lot of dreams about him, and I thought it strange. I'd moved away from where he lived and all. I called his place and found out he had died. I was devastated. He was my rock, my lover, my friend, I thought. The karmic connection was so strong, and to this day, I have never felt that strongly about any man. Through past life regression, I'd found out that he and I had been married together, and even now, even with him deceased, I feel I will see him again in the afterlife. How can you explain this? That's actually pretty easy, by the way. I have one like that, and I understand it very well, because all life, all experience is simultaneous. And so, you know, we can be having a number of experiences with the same person at the same time. And not only on this planet, but on other levels and dimensions. That relationship was so strong without even being married in this lifetime that I find it hard to even think that I could love another man to that degree. I miss him a lot. As you were talking on your show, my guides came to me and said it's time to do a power retrieval concerning this lover. I know it's not going to be an easy one. He was there when everything was falling apart with my dysfunctional family from my childhood. He always connected with me, probably not realizing how the attention he gave me, even a little of it, meant so much. And yet at the same time, he held back on admitting that he loved me. At the time, I accepted that because in my heart, I knew this man loved me in his way. I'm speaking from the heart in this, Jackie. I actually felt safe that he was committed to someone else, so I didn't have to go through the pain of ever getting married to someone after what I went through in my childhood. When he was finally single again and divorced, I could have flown back to where he was. I was afraid to trust him and afraid of my own heart being broken again. I didn't go back there, and then he died all by himself in his house from a heart problem. He wanted me to go back there, and I didn't.
Aww. Sad.
Yeah. Now, that was in the 1990s. I just can't let go and let anyone in my heart or even try to meet anyone. I've been with men, but there is something deeply missing. I guess with this guy at work, I had hope in my heart he would turn out to be a good lover and friend, and it was just not the same at all. You talk about loving people no matter what. What if there is nothing you can say or know what to say, like the guy that was so rude at work? We read this email last week, and this man was very rude to her and made a sexual overtone that was very unkind, with no concern for her. I love him as a person, but I do not respect his actions, so I say nothing to him. Is that okay? Just view him in a loving manner. And, you know, my answer to that is absolutely. I suffer anxiety attacks at work, especially at the beginning of my shift. Interesting you say Lazarus recommends carrying citron crystal because that is exactly what I carry in my pocket, and it does help. This, she's referring to last week's show. We talked about using a citrine crystal to run your anxiety into. And mainly because a citrine does not hold energy, so it's easy to do that and to do it on a, you know, take 10 minutes, day, whatever you need just to run your anxiety and get it out of the way so it doesn't hang over you all day. Part of my anxiety problem is having to work with a male coworker that was so rude to me. I just know in my heart that I'm determined to become the best I can be and to release all this baggage from old relationships that continue to dictate my happiness now. Good for you. I really appreciate you a lot and Veronica for what you are about. It's been a long time since I've been able to communicate with anyone about such deep issues. Even my best friend and I do not discuss any of this. Our relationship is changing also, a relationship with her best friend. I've noticed since I've started this work with the team and you, I simply am not the same person and see all my relationships so much differently. It is absolutely amazing. And, of course, then she went on to set up another appointment. Tonight's show really opened up the window. And, you know, I just want to comment on this for a minute and say that these old relationships for so many, you know, all of you listening are star beings. And, you know, I've said this so many times, we feel the highs higher and the lows lower. When we get damaged, we really get damaged. I mean, deeply. And it cuts. And it can cut right into the soul. And, you know, I have a relationship like this one in my past, and I understand very, very much that until that relationship is healed, you can't allow in anyone else. The fear of being hurt that deeply is so great that you will stay out of relationship. It's safer than to allow somebody in. And, you know, this course takes me back to the whole concept of power retrievals because they are so powerful for healing and undoing the contracts and setting each other free. It's not, and it regardless, even if you're your previous mate or partner or lover is on the other side of the veil. And, you know, I'm going to stay with that one for a moment because I think it's really important to understand that when you set somebody free and also you take their energy off of you, and it does sit in your energy field, it sits way outside, but it's there, it's layered in. And at the moment that that energy then goes back to them, all the energy in your field as well as all the energy you've got in your chakras and so on, the sense of freedom is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And you can sense that it's phenomenal for the other person as well. The next email, let's see. Jackie, thank you so much. Thank you for such a brilliant show on emotional addictions. It was courageous of you once again to open your life as an example. I envision a joyous outcome for you and, I actually used the wrong name, Richard, which is my son. He's gifted. He's a gifted, wonderful person, but being handsome, charismatic, and gay often sets one up for the seduction of destructive third-dimensional sensual pleasures. Gay culture encourages the bliss of annihilation through bodily addictions. I see this all the time through my impartial lens. I am long past the age when pretty young guys invite me to taste that destructive lifestyle. I recall my third session with the team when I asked to quietly leave this incarnation and allow a walk-in to finish my lifetime. I was under much psychic and physical pain. You and the team have walked me through the dark, and I'm feeling stronger and happier these days. I'm learning to consciously recreate my body into something new and mysterious. It is my wish that Richard makes this his last venture into that realm and be finished with the meaninglessness of it all. He will come through as a phoenix. There is no other outcome with a powerful magician like you on his side. Yeah, that was a sweet thank you very much for that one. And he's listening, so I know he knows I appreciate him.
And we know that all the listeners actually can send light to Ricky, right?
It would be wonderful. I would thank you so much for that. That one just made me cry. Thank you. Yes. He's an amazing being. He's actually got very angelic energy. So, and we're going to get into some of these addictions and, you know, what's going on for us, especially as star beings, and why we get hooked so easily. Here's one about our magic, another wonderful confirmation. confirmation that our magic is working. I attended the Lazarus workshop on healing pain in Orlando. So this was just a week ago, last weekend. And got wonderful confirmation directly from Lazarus that our magic is working. When I received my crystal, Lazarus said, "We are working beautiful magic. It's working. It's happening." That was thrilling to hear and something for each of us to feel really, really good about and to let in the impact we're having. While the news in the financial markets will likely be mixed for a period of time, we have definitely turned the corner and we are now on the upswing. Liquidity is returning, buyers are stepping in, and funding is being provided in select areas. I'll keep you posted on as things continue to unfold and improve.
Yay.
Now, for people who don't know, when you attend a Lazarus intensive, at the end you go up to receive a crystal that's been imbued with the energies of the workshop, and so Lazarus will take a moment, and sometimes he'll say something, sometimes he won't. So this is a great confirmation for all of us, and that's why I'm continuing to hold the energy for the financial markets globally, because this is so important. We know that things are going to shift on the planet, but we would like them to happen for all of us in a way that is more elegant and more easy. We don't need to have this be catastrophic and damaging. And from one of our favorite people, dear Jackie and Ronnie, as I was finishing off a huge piece of apple pie the other day, I reapplied my red lipstick and thought about your show on emotional addictions. Well, I certainly have my share of them, too. Are addictions merely habits gone wild, perhaps? One day I have a delectable piece of chocolate, and before I realize it, I'm doing it every day. When did the craving begin? Must be from the wanting to feel good, and I ask, what is wrong with that? Can't think of an answer to that right now. I agree that these cravings and desires stimulate the neuroreceptors in our brains, and perhaps we as humans needed this extra lift after the fall. Do you think the beings of Atlantis had the propensity for addictive behaviors? I love this. Was our DNA messed up at some point to create a dependency that would mask our inabilities to control our environment?
Good question.
That's a great question. Well, I'm going to address the one to Atlantis, and I'll say this. The only addiction I'm aware of in Atlantis was an addiction to power. That's what got him in trouble. Has our DNA been messed with to create a dependency that would mask our inability to control our environment? If you're talking personal environment, I will, you know, have to be careful about what I say on the air here. We are going through a very subtle seduction on this planet, especially in this country. And we've been lulled into a sense of numbness, if you will. And it's playing out all around us. It's playing out through television, which certainly has been a big contributor. You know, people who sit and watch television and get inundated with commercials, one after the other, being told that they need this drug, that drug, you know, this food, that food. We don't realize what's going into the subconscious, and we really are getting programmed, as are our children, which is a problem.
You bet.
And so, and, you know, does this, in fact, foster a belief that we can't control our environment? And the answer to that is yes. Because little by little, we really are getting seduced into a feel-good society. And that's part of the major problem of all the addictions and, you know, giving up our power.
I think also learning that things like, for example, when people are at war and they're having to kill a lot, they really get an endorphin release in the middle of that violence. And we're being given that endorphin release through all the violence on television as well. So people are getting high on the dark murder stuff, aren't they?
Oh, you know, And Ronnie, I'm assuming you're like, I can't watch anything violent, and I'm not, you know, people who know me would probably never think that because I'm such a kind of a savvy type of person. But I just can't watch violence, mm-hmm. any form of it. And I have now gone to a point where, you know, and I talk about this all the time, you know, the King of Queens, you know, Raymond, you know, these are things that make me laugh at the human condition and really appreciate the human condition. I actually learn from these programs, which I'm sure would make people laugh. I have a library of, you know, deep metaphysical, you know, every kind of subject that, you know, when I want to get there, go there, that's what I watch. But
I think it's interesting to think, for people to think that it literally is triggering endorphins in people, the stuff that's running, and then reminding them that we are being numbed or we are being enslaved or something. I think that's really helpful for us to get it.
Oh, I agree with you. And we are, if we allow it.
Mm.
And if we allow it. And, you know, for anybody who watches Bill Maher, you know, I think as a political satirist, he's absolutely brilliant. He's a little edgy, but...
Yeah, I think he gets a little over the top sometimes.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of his, you know, comments in terms of the food, and, you know, I mean, he actually, you know, he pushes it a little, as you say, a little too far, but he...
But he's bringing it forward for sure, and he has a huge audience.
And thank heaven.
Yes.
She goes on, is addictive behavior specific to Earth, and if so, does our planet itself have its own addictions? Now she's referring to Earth. I can picture it now. Mother Earth is feeling a desire for some sort of release, so she decides to have an earthquake. Yes, she says, what a rush, and I feel so much better now, and then before you know it, she's hooked and looking forward to her better now. And then before you know it, she's hooked and looking forward to her next fix. But soon earthquakes don't really give her that ultimate high, so then she starts doing hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis and droughts and floods. I'm sorry I butchered this because it's so damn funny. I read a quote from Buddhism which refers to addictions as, this is brilliant, a clinging or grasping desire that gives rise to suffering. That makes me wonder, do you think Buddha was a Cubs fan?
Very good.
And, of course, this is our darling squirrel who is brilliant, absolutely brilliant, but actually brings up some great points. And I love, you know, a clinging or grasping desire that gives rise to suffering, and this is the self-infliction of pain, you know, this is, Lord. And she finds it addicted to ET healing, which is, she's so cute. Another great one, the greatest and most powerful way for us to create and live in our own personal beliefs and truths are to remove ourselves from judging others' behaviors, beliefs, and actions. Yes, we have all heard this many, many times. There are many ancient teachings about this truth that have come out in our modern-day lives. I, again, have been reminded that every time I judge, every time, I get angry at someone, I'm giving them my power and light while feeding them the very circumstance and energy that I so strongly do not want. I'm beginning to understand. I have to go back and say this one again because this is really powerful. Every time I judge, every time, I get angry at someone, I'm giving them my power and light while feeding that very circumstance and energy that I so strongly do not want. And I would say this really applies to what we're talking about tonight as well. I'm beginning to understand in a different way that it's not about condoning another's beliefs or actions that we may take offense to, nor ignoring it. It's about becoming the observer and then stepping forward and literally redirecting our energy, our focus and light on the higher vibrations and consciousness that is coming in. literally shifting into a different zone and frequency. This is ascension, folks. This is it in a nutshell. I think we've been straddling two worlds at once, one foot in one and one in the other. In this way, perhaps, we are the bridge and the warriors. The warriors that will refuse to give the light to the old creations. Not out of anger or lack of caring, but out of love for the new world. And all those who choose to experience life from the perspective of the power of love, not the love of power. May we all be kind and patient with ourselves through this process.
Wonderful.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We haven't had anything from her for a while, and this was well worth waiting for. Well worth waiting for. Thank you all, by the way, for the wonderful emails that you send, and we love you. Ronnie and I talk about these.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to see that you're all really taking all this in and really working with it and coming back with brilliant things that we can share with others. You know, we're all in this together, folks. I can't tell you this one enough. So let's get into tonight's show, not that we haven't already been there. Tonight, addictions to food, people, emotions, drama, and substances, and even adrenaline. And that's our own adrenaline. Tonight, you know, we're really going to create more questions than answers, but some things to really look at and ponder since we're all dealing with these things in one level or another. So I just want to share, I can tell when a show is going to be big because when I sit down to write it, I start getting really hot. And I have to turn the air down and get really cool, and then I start pacing and I'm jumping up and down from the keyboard. And then I start looking for Veronica because I just need to talk. And tonight she was on the road, so I was frantic. So I took this from the dictionary. When I sit down to write, they start coming through and, you know, kind of directing me. An addiction is a recurring compulsion by an individual to engage in some specific activity. The term is often reserved for drug addictions, but it is sometimes applied to other compulsions, such as problem gambling, compulsive overeating, hyper-religious religiosity. Factors that have been suggested as causes of addiction include genetic, biological, pharmacological, and social factors. So this kind of goes back to our whole thing with television. Certainly the news, I mean, it's all around us. This week we had, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, who slashed his wrist.
I don't think I know.
He's actually a very well-known younger actor, quite funny and charming. And I'm sorry that I don't remember his name.
Is he the one who's been dealing with his addiction so much? Martin?
No. No, there's been no tying in of him. He was in The Wedding Crashers, and there's been no tying of him to his other movie was You, Me, and Dupree.
Hmm.
And he's a charming, young man, but, I think that all the star beings that I'm seeing out there are not all. Now, you know, we have those that have been on the vegetarian lifestyle, been so clean, so clear, you know, wonderful. They haven't had any of these addictions, but a lot of the ones that have come in, some of these are older people, a lot of the younger ones, you know, and myself included, I've dealt with every addiction there is. Well, not personally, but I've been exposed to it one way or the other. Either myself, been around it, you know, been married to it, been in love with it, gave birth to it. So, and certainly, you know, my friends, clients, so, and I see it really up on the planet right now. especially as we're going through the ascension process. Mm-hmm. And certainly, we are seeing it in the media. There's no question about that. And, you know, great comment you made, Ronnie, about, what did you say about violence?
Yeah, and the endorphins.
It's a high. And I think that...
it's carefully engineered, almost time-released violence all over the television. It's quite amazing.
Well, yeah.
Even worse than last year, I think.
Yes, and so what does this, you know, I mean, I really very seldom even know what's on, you know, at the movies, unless somebody calls me and says, you've got to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just have made it a point to stay away from everything violent. You know, we're at such a sensitive time in our progression right now in terms of moving through the ascension process. And it's everybody is, you know, dealing with something right now, you know, whether it's, you know, recognizing that it's time to heal all their relationships, which certainly needs to be done, retrieve their power. But as we retrieve power, we're retrieving it from substances as well. And from the addiction to violence, the addictions to adrenaline, the addictions to substances, whatever they may be.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that power retrievals with people can actually shift the way our energy ballast is, so maybe could trigger the need for the balancing that comes through substance. You know what I'm saying is when we jostle back and forth, I was curious about whether we can actually just do a power retrieval of a substance.
You know, this is a very interesting question, and, you know, somebody wrote me the other day and said, can I take my power back from the collective? And I wrote back and said, good try. You know? They wanted to do a power retrieval with the collective.
I like that idea.
Right. Well, this is...
We have a caller here.
Okay.
Good evening. Hello.
Hi, it's Squirrel.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Hi, girls. I'm enjoying the show. I just was going to tell you that the actor's name is Owen Wilson.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I'll let you go on, and I'll be in touch.
Okay,
thank you,
darling. Thank
okay.
Wonderful.
Love
letter.
You.
Bye-bye.
That was a nice intrusion, if that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, that was perfect. Thank you again, Squirrel. Bless your heart. People that know me know that I'm not good with names. I have a hard enough time being on the planet. Names do not stick.
They don't necessarily fit the soul anyway, do they?
No, absolutely not. I can tell you all about someone, but I may not remember their name.
Exactly. Sometimes I can't remember a person's name because it doesn't fit what their essence looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. So, you know, let's kind of start with the social structure, which I really have been pondering this one and talking with different people about it. And I want to kind of move on because I don't want to miss anything tonight, just as we kind of hit some of these subjects. The whole social thing of alcohol and, you know, getting together for dinner, you know, parties, whatever, and how that has become such a big part of the social structure. And, you know, I have clients right now who, you know, are being directed to get off of alcohol. And, I'm not talking about alcoholics here. I'm talking about people where this has been part of their social structure. And this particular summer, for whatever reason, I've been invited to a ton of parties. And I have found it very interesting. I went to one a week ago, and I brought my Perrier, and... because of the way I'm eating right now, there wasn't one morsel of food I could eat. There wasn't one vegetable that wasn't covered in something. And what was interesting to me is that the next day I felt like I had drank. I mean, and of course it was energetic because I was with a group of people who were all drinking and all, you know, having fun and doing their thing. But energetically, I wasn't focused on taking care of my energy field. So I ended up getting whacked anyway, and I found that just fascinating to me that, you know, again, this is, as we're going through the ascension process, we're going to have to be more and more conscious of what we're doing with our energy field. Because when people are drinking alcohol, it opens up the emotional centers in the brain. And so they become more social. They start talking about things and taking, you know, becoming more emotional, more comfortable being emotional and talking about emotions. They're coming from an emotional perspective. But energetically, it can be very unhealthy for us if, in fact, you know, whether we're drinking or not. It's something we need to start paying attention to. What I'm seeing, though, is with a lot of clients, as they're pulling out of this whole social context, how much we have been indoctrinated and how much a part of society this has been globally forever. Are you with me on this, Ronnie?
I sure am. I'm just watching it, yeah. You can even actually walk around a store like a big grocery store and walk into the wine section and really feel the energy shift.
That's a really good point. And you're right. I hadn't even thought about it, but I know the last time I kind of walked through that section to get from one place to another, I did notice that. I just didn't record it.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating,
right,
isn't it? Yeah.
Very interesting. And I seldom go to regular grocery stores. My life is pretty much spent at Whole Foods. So it's a social sharing and an intimate sharing. But, I've been looking at how did we get, we know that historically, you know, we grow up with these things. They become very socially acceptable. It's something that you just do and, you know, you don't think about. But, you know, as we're moving through the ascension process and the team is telling me, okay, these are the things you need to start looking at. So we'll go into that list in a minute. Drug addictions, this is such a toughie. And the pharmaceutical companies, people are running our country. I mean, literally. Our gas stations on every corner have been replaced with pharmacies. Our doctors have become our dealers. You know, I'm not the first to say that or make that statement.
And the doctors often don't know what the drug really does. They're just selling they've been convinced to sell.
Well, I'll tell you, I was talking with a gentleman the other night who works at a teaching college, a medical teaching college, one of the finest in California. They just 6 months ago threw all of the pharmaceutical reps out of the college.
Excellent. Wow.
But they were in there, and even in surgery, I repeat, they were even in surgery with the doctors. And I that shocked me. It told me how close it's getting. And they were whining and dining the doctors, you know, trips, gifts, you name it.
Interesting.
So we need to really start paying attention to this. I call it the dumbing down of America.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to control the people, you keep them dumbed down. Mm-hmm. And you want to dumb down people, you do it with alcohol. You do it with fear, as you said, and violence.
Mm-hmm.
And substance abuse.
And the antidepressant thing alone is really enormous, isn't it?
It's absolutely huge. We don't have to worry today about cocaine and marijuana and those kinds of drugs. We need to be worried about prescription drugs.
Yeah.
Right at this juncture right now, if you're going to see real major addicts out there, that's what you're going to see them on.
Like Oxycontin and...
And these drugs are almost impossible to get off of.
You know.
And if you're paying any attention to the people like Lindsay Lohan and so on and so forth, then you're seeing these people are in and out of drug rehab. They can't get off. They absolutely cannot get off. And, I have a son, I can tell you this.
So tell me this. What do you think about power retrievals and addictions like that? What do you think is the correlation? You see what I'm looking for is, like, is it possible to unhook that body's propensity to attach to that energy level sort of thing?
Well, what they're saying to me right now is, yes, that we can. It certainly would be interesting to do a session that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say...
set up a little group.
Well, I think the most interesting thing to do is first you get to, there's usually a relationship that begins the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what my experience has been to date. there is generally a relationship that sets up the addictive behavior. In other words, there's so much damage in a relationship, there's so much pain, that that sets up the need to escape. Now,
but I also read something at one place, one source is Chris Griscom's book, Ecstasy is Another Frequency. It's a very wonderful book on vibrational things, so on. And what she talked about there is that the brain of an intuitive, or one who's got that parietal lobe function, which moves you into higher frequencies really easily, usually also has the brain pattern of an alcoholic, because there's a link between the drive to spirituality and alcoholism, for example, you know?
Oh, that makes perfect sense to me.
So there's a lot of physiological reasons which prime people for responding to relationship difficulty, for example. Like, I'm agreeing with you, but also our own setup, whether it's genetic or just how we're born, is really crucial on this subject as well.
I think that's a wonderful input, Veronica, because, you know, whether we do it with alcohol or any other substance, you know, I was talking with a healer the other night, and this is quite an extraordinary being, and I know you know him as well, and we were laughing about how obsessive we are, and that we take everything to the extreme. And by nature, now we do it on the other side of the veil as well, because I was hooked into the collective, and I've been working on healing the collective and not sleeping for 2 weeks because I can't. All this stuff was running through me, these horrible scenarios, and I'm like, great, I'm hooked into the collective and I can't get out, you know? And so he was doing some work on me, and he said, yep, there it is. And he said, you've done it in a big way. And I said, well, will you unhook it, please? And then slap me around so I don't get so carried away in the dream state, because obviously there's a part of me that wants to go as far as I can. But it's that same energy that drives us to be compulsive in every way. And so I think that,
it's,
you know,
it's also the need to get out of the third-dimensional brain thing. I mean, we know that there's limitations that we don't have to accept all the time, right?
Right. And
so you have to have a strong drive to move through it.
Well, and where I get into trouble is I've always felt I could override everything, which I have since learned that that's not the case. It only takes a couple of times to be under the bus before I get it.
Override everything. Override that urge to go out there?
No. Believing that I could overcome anything and do anything. I mean, I used to pride myself that, you know, I can drink and smoke and do this and still be spiritual and channel and blah, 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 which, you know, there is a part of me that's a firm believer in all of that. It's just that physiologically right now with going through the ascension process, that no longer works.
Remember the Maharishi? Do you remember in the 60s when he took a handful of LSD tabs or whatever they were called, and he transmuted it in front of a huge group of people and said, when you get your energy, basically, when you get your energy going and your spirituality going, you can transmute anything.
Well, and that, unfortunately, is my philosophy. Right now, I am being a very good girl, because with these sessions, you know, I have learned that, and, you know, actually it was Millie's death that really kind of woke me up, watching what she walked through and what it did to her being, since she was present in every session. And I think that, you know, the message I'm getting from them is that you need to get strong right now. You need to get really, really strong for what's coming.
I agree.
And
we're all warriors, right?
Right. So let's kind of just go back to this for, you know, being on Earth has been painful for everybody. Anybody listening tonight, it's not been easy. I don't care who you are. This is not saying that it's not been difficult for other people, but the star beings feel the highs higher and the lows lower, and they tend to get really emotionally beat up. I mean, we all came in with a grand plan. It's just that we weren't quite as aware of how difficult it was going to be to deal with all the emotional stuff and the cruelty and things that we've seen on this planet.
And the hypersensitivity in the brain pattern and the frequency pattern.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, plus we have a built-in conflict, which creates more shame than normal.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Because intuitively we know that we're being held to a higher standard, that we have a mission. Everybody, again, everybody listening tonight knows they have a mission.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do anything that you feel is outside of or contrary to that mission, it triggers additional shame.
Interesting.
And which becomes self-inflicted. So now you're dealing with a double dose of shame compared to, let's say, any other human.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sit down and talk with people who are having just a normal life, you know, going to work, doing this, doing that, they don't deal with the shame and the conflict that we do. I spend a lot of time talking with people like this just to get that kind of input. They're far more balanced. And most of them much less likely to get really highly addicted. So, you know, we're also dealing with all the energies that are coming into the planet right now. And not only are we dealing with substance abuse and food addictions, which, of course, are tricky anyway, but we're also dealing with addictions to people, addictions to drama, and self-inflicted addiction, which is addiction to adrenaline. Now, I don't know, Ronnie, if you've ever encountered anybody, but I was in love with a man who was an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, I have friends that have been that way, yes.
It's a phenomenon. It was something I really studied. He was not into any kind of substance abuse whatsoever, but he was an adrenaline junkie, literally.
Hmm.
And he would stir the drama around him so that he could run his adrenaline, and it was a high, and he was on a constant personal self-induced.
So that's a little bit like the violence and the endorphin thing, isn't it?
Exactly. He ran on endorphin. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And he was, you know, he lifted weights, you know, so he ran on that whole endorphin level. That was his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He ran it that way. And, you know, so what's everybody really seeking here? And I think part of the problem is this need to numb so that they don't feel so deeply. And whatever, you know, whether it's a, you know, chocolate cake, you know.
Well, some of it, Jackie, isn't numbing. Some of it is a real, you know, that when that, I get the endorphin rush when I'm working out or doing my little dance thing. And it's not a numbing. It's expansion. You know?
Okay. From the endorphin side, yes. Absolutely. So you've got that side of it, Ronnie, but you also have the other side of it, which is the numbing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with people who feel so deeply, who've been hurt so deep, can't even identify where that loneliness, that sorrow, that pain, that emptiness comes from, and they're looking for something to fill it.
Yeah.
And these are the people that get into or can get into, you know, alcohol, food addictions, and, of course, then into, you know, drugs, any form of drug. You know, if you they're trying to numb out. I mean, I have a grandson who has said, you know, and this is something you brought up last week, that the only way he could sleep was to smoke pot. It was the only thing that would shut his brain down.
Mm.
And even his therapist said, this kid needs pot. Now, I found that very interesting.
Mm.
And, of course, he was diagnosed with ADD but refused to take any of the ADD medication.
Probably, that's probably just as well, eh?
Well, because it zoned him out.
Mm.
What was interesting that he was functional on marijuana as long as he didn't do alcohol. It was the alcohol that absolutely crushed him.
Mm.
I
know another young man who has a lot of brain chemistry problems, and he finds if he smokes marijuana, he handles life, and nobody really knows he's stoned because he's better. He's a nicer person, you know. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying this is an experience I know.
Well, and I assume you've seen this in your sessions as well, I see a tremendous amount of brain chemistry issues.
Oh, yes. I work with that all the time.
Right. And
I find it an exciting subject, actually.
Well, we're dealing with an evolution of a species, and a lot of children are actually altered in the womb. And, you know, that is a whole other show that we don't want to go off on that one tonight. But
altered by what? By the mother's brain chemistry or the mother's?
No, I mean, they're actually being altered by other species.
Hmm. Whilst they're in the womb.
Right. And
this is so that they can move more swiftly out of the limiting forces of a third dimension, right?
Well, it is, and so that they can make a difference. Unfortunately, from what I can tell, this is the Zeta group, the little grays, and they, again, dealing with this from a technological standpoint, they're very technological or scientific. They can get it from a scientific perspective. The problem is that in moving the species in a very accelerated fashion forward, what's happening is that there's a piece they're missing in the emotional body. And this is, you know, I've said this all along. They've told me this, the whole, all the being...
The piece that the children are missing, or they know? Who's missing the piece is all I meant, you know.
The grays are working directly, okay,
mm-hmm.
have permission to work directly with humans in terms of evolving the species in a very accelerated fashion.
Oh.
They do not have it down. Where they run into problem is with the emotional body.
Hmm.
So we end up with young people who have this glitch. I mean, some of it we know is food, you know, has to do with foods and additives and so on and so forth. I'm not saying that all kids that have ADD are the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this glitch. And I've seen it over and over again. Over and over again. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yes, I believe I do.
Okay, hopefully everyone else out there listening does too.
Well, it's basically what you're saying is that the ADD isn't the same with every one of them, and some of them are missing emotional interaction capacities. Is that...
No. No, what I'm saying is that those that are doing the genetic alterations do not totally understand the emotional body. So they're trying to make alterations which, with the emotional component, it are not always compatible. And the emotional component being the familial surroundings and genetics that and the emotional imprints that the child is receiving. So sometimes we end up with kids who have these brain chemistry issues that kind of go off the map. They don't fit into the normal status.
Mm. So is that related to the incredible number of autistic people?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's part, and it happens, it's not only happened on this planet, it's happened on other planets where there's been a real jump in the species, which is what we're experiencing right now. We're going through a dramatic acceleration in the species itself.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just kind of just briefly go over some of the recommendations that the team is making right now in terms of, and certainly they're pushing me. I have more stuff in my refrigerator that I've never seen before in my life than you can imagine.
You better take a look in your fridge.
Lord. Okay. Meat. Meat is really up, folks. I have to tell you this. And there is a paradox here because of our need for protein. There are some people who need protein more than others. And it's a problem. We were never really intended to eat meat the way that we do, red meat especially.
I think it's about a quarter of the population that can't go, can't have any meat, and a quarter of the population that has to have some, right? Isn't it?
I don't know. You're the statistic person, Ronnie. I would count on you for that.
I just know a little bit about blood types.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there are other things besides the blood types, because there are studies right now that have to do with copper in the blood and how it's changed the blood types and so on, which kind of now is conflicting with some of the stuff we know about blood types. I do have that piece.
Well, that's good. That's a little evolution right there.
And Bashar has talked about the fact that we will move into a cloning perspective where animals will be cloned soulless as sources of protein for those people who must have protein, animal protein. A lot of people have got food allergies, and, you know, there's a reason for this. You know, we're dealing with so many additives in our food and so much crap and so much emotional crap. And so many of the food allergies are tied directly to emotions. Mm. And what I'm seeing with the power retrievals is a lot of people's food allergies are shifting.
Great.
So that tells me and confirms for me that a lot of this stuff is tied directly, including dairy, very much tied to mother.
Mm-hmm.
Organic. You know, this is becoming buy stock and whole foods, everybody. Another major thing, alcohol, what they're saying is a little wine is fine, hard liquor, you know, really best to stay away from all of it. Caffeine, another issue, because all of you out there listening are healers, which means your adrenals are stressed. Trust me on this. And caffeine really stresses the adrenals.
I always remind myself that the cortisol levels of your brain, the brain does not have, after 60, it doesn't calm down after caffeine. It just sits in the brain.
Well, that's an interesting insight.
Yeah, that took me off caffeine in a heartbeat.
Right. Well, I started, because of the work I do, having so many problems with adrenals, and it didn't take long for me to get the message, which was, get off. And I did that very quickly.
And I think we're going to be taken off the radio now.
Okay, the other thing I want to say is, folks, the other message is get strong. What we've got coming now, we're all going to need to be physically strong. So start looking at what you're doing and how you can get physically strong. I'm not saying you have to be a lunatic like I am, but certainly start looking at what you need to do to get you healthier and stronger.
Wonderful.
And I love all of you. Veronica, your website?
VeronicaEntwistle.com, no H. And my show is Radiance by Design, and I have an interview next Tuesday and a list of people, and nobody's confirmed yet, so we'll let you know what that is.
Wonderful. And, of course, you know our website is ethealing.com. We love you all. A piece of me is in every one of you, and a piece of you is in Veronica, and I can be no other way. We are one, and it's time for us to remember that. Start tapping into the power of this web that we've created together and do all the good we can. I love you all. Talk to you next week at this same time. Good night, everyone. And night. Ronnie, we love you.
Thank you. Love you, too. Good night, everyone. Blessings. She finished with a grin or the laugh. That's great. That was a good show. Good night. Good night.